It is 1992, a small town in southern Oregon. Two brothers have just watched their family's dairy farm collapse. Third-generation farmers with no fallback, no plan, and $12,000 between them. Travis, the younger one, has an idea. He has seen espresso carts in Seattle. He says, "Let's sell coffee." His brother Dane says yes. They buy a second-hand double-head espresso machine and a pushcart, and they wheel it into downtown Grants Pass. That is where Dutch Bros begins. Not in a board meeting, not with a business school plan. On a street corner, in a small town, with a pushcart and a brother. Dane and Travis Boersma were not coffee people, they were farmers. Their grandparents had emigrated from the Netherlands, and the family had worked the same land in Oregon for three generations. When environmental regulations tightened in the early 1990s, the dairy business became unviable. The brothers were in their 20s. Travis was the idea man, the talker, the one who looked at a problem and got energized by it. Dane was steadier, more considered. He had been running a Dairy Queen franchise separately and had set aside some savings. That money went into the pushcart. They named it Dutch Bros, partly in honor of their Dutch grandparents and partly because, in that part of Oregon, Dutch heritage was a point of pride. The cart did well. Within 2 years, they had five carts. By 1994, they opened their first drive-through. That detail matters. Drive-through was not a coffee thing in 1994. Starbucks was sit-down. Dutch Bros committed to drive-through from the start, which meant speed, volume, and a very specific kind of interaction. Every customer was in a car. You had maybe 90 seconds to make them feel something. Dane is harder to profile than Travis because he left fewer public records. He was not the one giving speeches, but he was clearly the person who made the early finances work and who shared the same underlying conviction about people. Dutch Bros sources describe both brothers as equally committed to the culture they were building. Warm, direct, genuinely interested in the people across the counter. If Travis was the energy, Dane was the anchor. He was the one who had already proven he could run an operation when he managed the Dairy Queen. In the mid-2000s, Dane was diagnosed with ALS, also known as motor neurone disease. It is a degenerative condition with no cure, and it progresses differently in different people, but always in one direction. He died in 2009, aged 45. He had spent most of the previous years still involved in Dutch Bros while the disease advanced. The company responded by creating something called Drink One for Dane, an annual fundraising event that directs proceeds to ALS research. By 2026, the campaign had raised, across its history, close to $20 million. That number tells you something about what Dane meant inside the company and about the culture Travis built in his memory. Travis Boersma is the one you find if you search for Dutch Bros leadership. He is the one who has given interviews, who rang the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange in 2021 when Dutch Bros went public, who uses the phrase that has become the company's unofficial motto, "We are not in the coffee business. We are in the relationship business." That is not marketing copy. Or at least, it did not start as marketing copy. Travis has used that phrase in private investor meetings and internal contexts as well. His argument is simple. Coffee is a commodity. Relationships are not. If someone can go anywhere for a coffee, the only reason they come to you is because they want to see you. What does the relationship business look like at a drive-through coffee chain? It looks like this. Dutch Bros trains its employees, who they call Broisters, not just in drink preparation, but in conversation. They are supposed to know repeat customers by name. They are supposed to ask about something from the last visit if they remember it. The standard is not efficient service. The standard is that the person in the car leaves feeling a little better than when they arrived. Travis is also known for a second phrase, love everyone, serve everyone, which sounds like a slogan but has a specific meaning inside the company. Dutch Bros has a policy of not taking political positions publicly. The customer in the drive-through lane is not a demographic or a voter or a target. They are a person. The job is to make them feel that. Here is where Dutch Bros diverges from most fast-growth companies. Dutch Bros does not recruit operators from outside. It does not hire experienced franchise managers or bring in retail executives to run new locations. It promotes from within. Almost every shop operator in the Dutch Bros system started as a Broister. There is a formal internal program called the Leadership Pathway that takes someone from behind the counter to shop manager to, eventually, operator of their own location. The reason Travis gives for this is cultural. If you hire someone to run a shop who has never been a Broister, they do not understand the job from the inside. They manage what they see, not what they know. Someone who came up through the system knows why the culture matters, because they experienced it before they were responsible for it. For most of its history, Dutch Bros grew through a hybrid model. Some shops were company-owned, others were franchised to operators, many of whom had started as Broisters. The franchise model allowed fast expansion without requiring all the capital to come from the company, but it also created complexity. Not every franchise operator maintained the same culture. Travis has spoken about this tension. The culture is fragile in the sense that it depends on people genuinely believing in it, not just executing it as a checklist. In recent years, Dutch Bros has moved away from offering new franchise agreements entirely. The expansion model now relies almost entirely on company-owned locations and on promoting internal people into operator roles. The explicit reasoning is that it gives the company more direct control over the culture in each shop. In September 2021, Dutch Bros went public on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker BROS. The company raised capital to fund expansion. Travis rang the opening bell wearing a Dutch Bros shirt, not a suit. By 2025, there were more than 1,000 Dutch Bros locations, primarily in the Western United States, but expanding east. Going public changed some things. There are now earnings calls, institutional shareholders, and an independent chief executive, Christine Barone, who joined in 2023. Travis stepped from CEO to executive chairman. He remains the largest individual shareholder and the public face of the brand. Barone handles operations and growth strategy. The financial story of Dutch Bros is interesting because it shows what the culture model actually produces in business terms. Dutch Bros locations have consistently high customer frequency. People come back. The average visit per loyalty member is unusually high for the sector. Travis's argument is that this is the payoff of the relationship model. A customer who feels connected to a place comes more often than a customer who just finds it convenient. The company also has unusually low turnover for a fast food adjacent business, at least among the operators and senior Broisters. The leadership pathway has produced a cohort of people who have grown with the company and have a genuine stake in it, not just financially, but emotionally. They built their careers there. Step back and look at what Dane and Travis built. It is not complicated. They had a product that is not distinctive, coffee. They had a format, drive-through, that was already well-established. They had a market, the Pacific Northwest, that was already highly competitive for coffee. None of those things were advantages. What they had was a belief that the human interaction at the window was the product, that the drink was the excuse. That if someone felt something at a Dutch Bros, they would come back, tell someone else, and over time build a network of loyalty that no amount of marketing could replicate. And the numbers, over 30 years, suggest they were right. There is also something worth noting about how Travis has run the company since Dane died. He has not tried to erase Dane's presence from the brand. He has built it in. Drink One for Dane is not a one-year tribute. It has run every year since Dane's death, and it has raised close to $20 million for ALS research. Inside the company, Dane is still discussed. His personality, his steadiness, his belief in what they were building is part of the mythology the company tells about itself. That is an unusual management choice. Most companies, when a founding partner dies, quietly let the memory fade as they professionalize and grow. Dutch Bros went the other way. The loss became part of the identity. The grief became a fundraiser. The community that Dane helped build became the instrument of his memory. Two brothers with a pushcart. Third-generation Dutch immigrants in a small Oregon town. One of them died too young. The other took the company public and runs it from a chair that still has his brother's name on one side of it. The drink on the menu that carries Dane's name is still there. So is the culture. So, apparently, is the belief that the person in the drive-through lane deserves to feel something before they pull away. That is Dutch Bros. It is not a complicated idea. It just turns out to be quite hard to copy.